But wait, she's in labor. She gave birth. But wait, her contractions have started. She bore a son. Isaiah 66 and 7, our daily scripture for today, little children, the Word Green Version of 2003, a relatively modest version, which has only some of the chapters of the Bible in that particular translation. It's going to be fun today because I know it is because I haven't prepared. And that's always better because it's going to be my honest reaction to what the article's saying. We did, in the article yesterday, the Ark of Urartu is the article, of course, that we've been studying. And we're in part two. It's still called the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. We're now in part two. And it's today, chapter 7, paragraph 2, the second day of our study of part 2. And we've got a beautiful illustration here. I can't even show it any bigger than this because it's full width already. But it's the Great Wall of China. You can zoom in on different parts of it, of the picture, not of the wall, but I mean of the picture. But yeah, you can see the wall running from... It looks like left to right here in the picture, of course. You see the wall in the foreground. But then you see, again, there's another part of the wall that runs out from the center of this photo. It looks like there's another section running down because you see another tower. And then it must continue on beyond that, well beyond that. Oh, I think it goes over to the left then. Looks like over there. It's a marvelous picture because of the beautiful blue sky, the sun. Somebody's put the correct filter on the camera, evidently, so they can take a picture with the sun directly shining at the camera right towards the photographer. I would be the last one to say that a lower or later chronology is not better. As we read paragraph 2 here of chapter 7, I note my own notebook, number 27, page 46. But since the East has been culturally separated from the West since ancient times, separated from the West has the East been since ancient times. I would comment about separation in general. It was brought to my attention how difficult a thing it is to maintain a marital relationship without physical touch. While Christians are not commanded to attend to the sexual need of their spouse, how difficult is fidelity otherwise? When a husband is separated from his wife for any extended period, the marital union is tested and becomes less real. Unless both partners agree to this, and even when they do, Satan tempts us to commit infidelity when we are not near. Nearness in heart as well as in body are both needed here. I mean, we're talking about, let's say, a man and his wife agree that the man is going to go on a business trip. So the man goes on a business trip, and that separates him from his wife. They agree, in other words, that they're going to be separated. I mean, she could go with him, but they've agreed, let's say, that he's going to go by himself. Well, it's still going to be very difficult, even when they agree, because Satan tempts us when we're not close physically. People have physical as well as emotional and intellectual needs, social, spiritual, and financial needs also. Thank you, Tony Robbins. And a relationship can be far stronger when it is fully engaged. I remember today a story, without preparing this article, I remembered a story that Tony Robbins told me. I guess it was just the Holy Spirit brought it back to my mind. The story about, you could leave out the first part of it maybe, but Tony says in the last part of the story, he says, you weren't born and come out of your mother's womb and say, come on, copper. You know, it's not like we're born rebels, right? That's something that we develop with regard to our attitude toward the police or anybody else. We're not born outlaws, you know. And a relationship can be far stronger when it is fully engaged, it says here. About relationships in general, the physical is part of it. So maybe that's partly why somebody becomes a rebel or an outlaw, right? Because they never got any physical touch. The police can give physical touch too, which is not the kind that you necessarily want. But you need physical touch just to give you that connection with reality that sometimes maybe all of us lose if we don't have that physical touch. Physical proximity is one way to show one deep commitment. When there is separation, on the other hand, any remaining problems in the relationship become magnified by distance, as marrying is more difficult than being or remaining one. What does that mean? Let's see. Well, it's more difficult to get married than it is to stay married, you might say. Let's see here. Hang on. Yeah, it's more difficult to come back together than it is to stay together. That's what it's saying. We have identified Fuxi of ancient Chinese story as Kainan of the biblical line of Shem. But we have yet to determine the exact date of his separation from the group at Shinar. And that's the end of the paragraph. But was that not a, with regard to the discovery itself of the identification of Fuxi with Kainan, was that not a magnificent identification, or just a shot, not, well, essentially in the dark, but a shot out of the blue that just came because the Chinese chronology perfectly aligned with the chronology that we were looking at, to almost the very year that we would have hoped it would. I mean, it's ridiculous. But if 2745 was the dispersion in the land of Shinar when the Tower of Babel started to fail, right? In other words, the construction fell apart because the languages became confused. Excuse me. Yeah, I just woke up, but I mean, I'm back to my schedule of getting up in the evening. And I'm not running any HEPA filter in this room. I'm not even sure if I'm running it in the bedroom now. I can't remember. I'm still running it in some place in the house, but I don't think that the allergies are nearly as bad now as what they were. And I'm only speaking for myself. I don't know what other people are experiencing, but Some years I've noticed that there are no allergies, and such as prior to when I started experiencing allergies, and then more recently when I haven't had as bad, although, you know, it was bad for a while this year, but some years it's not as bad as others, so that indicates It still could just be what I'm eating, the diet, the supplements and diet that I'm eating. But the discovery I made of the banana, right? Well, the hydrogen water, then banana, and then the rye bread. Those things, you wouldn't think that would be significant, right? But when you're not experiencing a lot of ill health or symptoms, for example, I've got rheumatoid arthritis that's in remission, right? So you wouldn't think that most people would be able to. Well, in fact, most people don't even think about it, but I know for a fact I was not able to gain any understanding about how banana affected me or how rye bread affected me before I had health issues. But once you have health issues, which are affected by what you eat, then you can start to learn exactly how these foods affect you, for better or worse. And so they always affect you for better, really. It's always for better or not. It's either affects you for the better or doesn't do anything that you can see. I mean, some foods will cause arthritis, like if it's a supplement like calcium where you're not getting the necessary vitamin K2 and the vitamin D together with the calcium, with the magnesium also, and the boron, all those together. That's what you need when you're taking calcium, and you do need calcium. But you can, so some foods definitely can cause problems, but it's rather rare. But of course there are allergies too, right? So we shouldn't think that foods can't cause problems. They definitely can, but it's usually more the opposite, that foods cause benefits, right, rather than problems. That's why we eat. We have to eat, because without food we die. So the benefit from foods is enormous. It is what gives us our very life, right? The foods that we eat. So the benefits of foods are the difference between life and death. I mean, it's, or death and life, you know. Foods give life. And every food gives some great gift. Like, you don't learn that, though, is what I've been saying just now, unless you have an issue. Like, I had arthritis in my hands, and I learned that the bananas made that go away. And I also discovered licorice. That's right. I just discovered licorice, which also, by the way, is said by some people as, or it's believed, definitely believed, to reduce body fat in certain scientific studies that they've done with, you know, numbers of people. Like, you have to test it over a body, a large group of people, right, is the best way of, the simplest way of describing it. But if possible, that's what the testing has to be with regard to testing of food or something. But now these tests like that, studies like that, are not generally done with food, because it costs a lot of money to do studies. So they're not going to say, let's spend $1 billion to study bananas and how they help arthritis. They're not going to do that, right? Because it's not going to make them any money, other than increasing the sale of bananas, which only costs like a few cents a pound or something. It's not going to make them any money. So they're not going to do that with bananas. But, you know, or with any other food, for that matter. It's not enough money for the drug companies who want to, you know, sell their own proprietary patented substance, which is a poison, so that they can cause new diseases and then sell more patentable substances to remove the symptoms of those diseases. So, but food, on the other hand, I mean, it's complex, right? Even with food, it's complex, where a food can provide enormous benefits, but can also, in rare cases, not so rare, but certainly not as common as with poison, but food can cause a side effect. Poison causes more side effects, and all these substances used by people are poison. Like, it includes everything that's not a food. And you can't rationalize it. Like, people who breathe in vapors, that's not food, okay? Doesn't matter what it is, that's not food. So that doesn't count as food. We're only saying that the things we want to breathe are good air, you know, that's it. Oxygen mixed with nitrogen, the normal components of clean air, fresh air. Those are the things we want to breathe. Now, I mean, you know, the oxygen content of that is the way it is on Earth. It's not 100% oxygen, because oxygen is also rather, you know, poisonous or toxic if you get too much of it. We know that, well, that's why we have it's a different topic, but antioxidants, right? Antioxidants, because oxygen has this affinity for electrons, and electrons are what our bodies need. And that's why calcium is so great, because it has extra electrons, I think 2 extra electrons, calcium has. But oxygen would quickly rob those electrons from the body, right? And that's why we have antioxidants to prevent the oxygen. But the thing is, that's why calcium is so good, because when you're eating calcium, you can breathe oxygen and you won't die. When you're deficient in calcium, oxygen is like a really toxic. And I noticed that when I was calcium deficient, because this is before I started ever taking any supplements at all. I was calcium deficient, and I didn't know what was causing my fatigue. I had chronic fatigue. You know, I had pains in my pectoral, cramps in my pectorals, or pains, not even cramps, just pains in my pectoral muscles. You know, and there were quite severe, sharp pains that would come and go. And I had this great fatigue, and I diagnosed myself as having chronic fatigue syndrome. But a lot of people at that time were believing it was a psychosomatic disease. You know, it's all in your head, right? That was what I was told. But it's just, who cares what some doctor thinks, right? But it's stupid that people get treated this way. But I realized on my own, with God's help, apparently it was Jehovah directing me in all this time, but I just happened to see an advertisement for Coral Calcium on late night. What were those ads? What they used to call those ads? I forget. They had late night ads anyway, whatever they were called. Infomercials. Yeah, infomercials. Yeah, infomercial. That's what they still probably call them. I don't know. Maybe they don't. But on an infomercial, I saw Bob Barefoot talking about Coral Calcium, and I bought some of it. After a long period of months, like debating whether I should buy it, because I didn't want to start taking supplements, because to me supplements were just like taking some kind of drug, or, you know, it was a dangerous thing to me, right? It was just a bad thing to do, not natural. But coral was a natural thing. Coral is a natural thing. Coral is, in his case, marine coral from the ocean. The marine coral has a lot of magnesium as well. How you can tell it's from the ocean. But the problem with it is it has mercury from the ocean, so you can't really take a lot of coral, and it can't meet all of your daily needs, as I later learned. But I didn't know that at the time, so I started taking a lot of coral calcium at the time, and it cured my chronic fatigue. But immediately, like, it was totally immediate, you know, instantly, 20 minutes, I mean, whatever, I started feeling better. So, I mean, but that was just the start of my journey. And then I later on, eventually, through taking calcium supplements, developed some arthritis in my hand. One hand at the time was particularly bad in terms of the stiffening of the pain in the joints. And so I took, it was my right hand. So I didn't take anything. I just didn't know what to do until I encountered somebody. What was her name? It's not, let's see. I don't know her name. Yeah, it was a name like, I'm just guessing. It was like Kiki or Dee Dee or something. But she was working in a health food store where I was shopping, and I was with my wife at the time, But I learned from this excellent woman about vitamin K2, and that changed my life radically, because I was taking vitamin D, which is quite toxic if you take it without vitamin K2. And so all these things, you know, I was taking calcium as well, and it was causing this arthritis, apparently. Apparently it was arthritis, right? So what happened, maybe it was something like gout, who knows, I don't know. I don't even know what gout is, but I know I've got arthritis. I've seen it manifest, or maybe it's gout, because the joint swells up. Yeah, it could be gout. But I've got problems of some kind, right? Still got a little bit on this left thumb, when it's in remission, it completely disappears, and it's you can't see it because it's on this side, but it's a little bump that gets bigger, and it's painful. Right now, actually, there's a tiny bit of pain, which means I've got to take more of whatever it is that makes it go away. But what instantly made it go away was the K2, when I took vitamin K2. It went away, like, immediately. Like, that was literally so fast. Again, it was like 20 minutes. The pain went away, and the problem was gone. Every time I took K2, if I had any pain and I took K2, it was gone. So the K2 in the MK7 form is what I took. It cured my arthritis, and then as time went on, now eventually it didn't cure it anymore. But then I learned about bananas, which very recently made the arthritis go away, and that was crazy also, in a good way. And then, yeah, I don't know what the licorice is going to do for arthritis, but it's supposed to be phenomenal for a lot of good. It's a lot of good things about licorice, including helping with weight loss. Oh, I also discovered alpha lipoic acid before the licorice, before the rye bread even. Alpha lipoic acid helps you lose weight, and it helps regenerate nerves. But the difference to me, the biggest thing I learned, the licorice makes me feel pretty good, but it doesn't really give me a good feeling after I eat it. Whereas the rye bread, when I eat the rye bread, it's like it calms me down. I think it's the B vitamins in the rye. Rye has more B vitamins. But it's just, now that I think about it, I remember when I was, you know, a teenager or whatever, I have more memories from that time than I have from when I was younger. But I remember being a teenager, eating rye bread or having some rye toast or whatever. We'd just eat. We'd have a loaf of rye bread at home. Long before I met my wife, of course. But this is at home, you know, with my brothers and sisters and my parents, and maybe my friends were over or whatever. But I can't remember when I ate this rye bread. But it seems to me I remember eating rye bread and saying, yeah, I want some more of that, you know. Like, when you eat rye bread, when I eat rye bread, I feel like whatever that did for me, I want to eat some more of it right now. Like, it really has an effect for the better on my personal well-being, my sense of well-being. It's just, but it's like it. Yeah, I can describe it as like this. Before I discovered some of these foods, I was still eating excellent food, but it was not solving my problems, if you know what I mean. I mean, it would solve a lot of my problems to eat, like, a matcha tea latte is phenomenal with the if I add the calcium to it, and it becomes, you know, sufficient with calcium so that I can, you know, get the necessary essential calcium for my body. But now I don't have it. There's not enough calcium in a latte. Generally, if it's cream, it doesn't have any calcium. It's got to be milk. So I'll supplement with the coral that I've got. Is it coral? Yeah, I think I have coral. Yeah, I've still got coral, right. I supplement with that every day, but not large amounts of it, you know. But also, like, maybe 500, 600 milligrams a day or something of the coral calcium that, you know, you want to keep it down low. But what else? But, I mean, you need more than that in calcium, so that's why I need to get some more milk and stuff like that. I'll take some other calcium. I'll have to start supplementing with calcium citrate or something, combined with magnesium, you know, CalMag, to get my necessary calcium for the day. Or I can greatly, the other thing to do is you boost your vitamin D way up, higher than what they recommend, because what they recommend is stupidly low. So you boost your vitamin D high enough, like 10,000 units a day or whatever. You know, they say, some people say even less than that, but I don't think it's at all dangerous to go 10,000. But you have to then, okay, what is it? You can't then have a super high amount of calcium, like way, way high with calcium, which I was having when I was drinking my straight well water, which had, you know, 400 milligrams or something like that. Well, 400 parts per million, actually, is what it was. Which I think they said was equivalent to, why would that be equivalent to milligrams? I don't know. But it's very high in terms of milligrams per, it was milligrams per liter, that's what it was, yeah. It's about 400 milligrams per liter of calcium in my well water. Or it's not described, it's not identified specifically as calcium, right? It's all the minerals, but most of it's calcium. So, I mean, that's the normal thing. So most of it, you know, we just know that calcium is the main element there because it clogs everything up in the pipes, right? In your plumbing, if you don't remove the calcium. So, yeah, it's calcified. Everything gets calcified if you don't, because of the calcium in the water, that's what it is. But anyway, so I was drinking way too much. I was drinking more water, too, because I was dehydrated by the fact that I was overdosing on calcium. You know, so I was drinking more water, making it worse. But that's because I was taking a million units of vitamin D per day, or close, you know, between 300,000 and a million, let's say, units of vitamin D. So 300,000 is more than 10,000 by like a factor of 30. So you don't have to take that much vitamin D. So it shouldn't be possible to overdose on calcium with 10,000 units of vitamin D. That's not an issue at all. But they did studies on people taking 200,000 units of vitamin D per day. It's in the back of the Calcium Factor book. The Calcium Factor by Bob Barefoot and Carl Reich. Carl Reich being maybe the main author. But that in the back of that book, there are studies about using vitamin D to treat arthritis, and they were giving hundreds of thousands, maybe 500,000 units of vitamin D per day. But they weren't giving this enormous amount of calcium that I was getting from my well water. So it's safe. Vitamin D is safe in large quantities. But then, like, because I was taking 20, or since then, I mean, 10,000, or even if I take 20,000 units of vitamin D a day, or 30,000, it's not much. As long as my calcium is moderate, and I can control it. So I don't need to take the recommended amount of calcium either if I've got way more than the recommended amount, way more than the recommended vitamin D, right? If I've got like 20, 30 times more than they recommend for vitamin D, then I can reduce my calcium intake, you know, and still have the same benefit from the calcium, because vitamin D is what facilitates the absorption of the calcium. They work together. So it's like, you know, six of one or half a dozen of the other, you know. It's fine. The way you can, but you have to find out what works. It's an ongoing, like, it's a real it's in vivo experiment on your own body. But you're not really interested in an experiment, which would be, you know, way too restrictive. It's more of a, what would you call it? It's an improvisational thing. You're improvising the amount of each thing. Your body tells you immediately when you make a mistake, you know? Like, for example, if you don't get enough magnesium, your body tells you immediately. You get constipated, unless you're eating licorice, and then you might have diarrhea or something, because the licorice has a benefit in that way as well. And then the rye bread is this, they say it reduces blood sugar. It reduces the level of the blood sugar. It has an immense, it's crazy. That's going to help you lose weight. So, and also rye bread allows you to feel full, and your stomach to feel full. So you're not, you know, you don't want to eat, but when I want to eat, I want to eat rye bread. I bought a whole pile of it. It's just this German rye bread, you know, the really dense bread that has this incredible, it's sourdough, so it has an incredible flavor to it. It would say it could be addictive, you know, but it's hard to do any harm to yourself with something that's really good for you like that. One of the things I want to say too about when you buy bottled drinks, like any canned or bottled drinks, is what's the water that it's made from? They could be using any kind of water. That's the problem with these bottled drinks or canned drinks. And so I am drinking iced tea all the time, but I know the water they're using is probably from some tap water. That God knows what's in the tap water. They're not filtering the water because that would be too expensive for them to do that. And they're selling this drink, the iced tea, with the water that they're using, which is probably not got anything special about. It can't be filtered because it would cost them too much, so you know you're getting rotten water. So I've got to find a better solution for that also, ultimately, eventually, because I'm drinking this iced tea quite a bit. But, you know, then you want to eat minerals and foods that help you detoxify, right, as well, all the time, even if you're not drinking water that's bad. But it's November 15th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 2047 hours. North American Eastern Time, now 2048 hours Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, very much. So sweet, so beautiful to know you. This is my watch, Sissy, and this is my watch, Annie, saying bye for now. And that was the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, Chapter 7, Paragraph 2 today. We're moving once again along. We have another flower picture coming up. Beautiful again. Tulips tomorrow. And we still got just a couple seconds. Nobody can take your calling of God away from you. When God calls you, nobody can take that calling away. God doesn't regret his calling of you, no matter what anyone tells you. He'll never remove your calling. Once you feel that calling, you have it.